All right, could Donald J. Trump be instrumental in the construction of the future third temple in Jerusalem, Israel? Wait till you hear what at least one rabbi is saying in Israel.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you really can't make this stuff up. Things are getting so interesting and intriguing right now. There is such prophetic anticipation in the air. Donald J. Trump has won the re-election of the United States. He becomes the 47th president, and it seems like things are just put on acceleration mode. I mean, this guy has been put on the front burner and on the top shelf of all talking points and everything going on in the world. And this guy is now being responsible for peace negotiations, not only with the Arabs and with Israel, but even the world. There are reports, and again, I say reports, that he is trying to negotiate a treaty peace, a treaty of peace with Russia and Ukraine. He's trying to bring peace in the Middle East with Hezbollah and Israel. He's trying to calm things down with China and trade negotiations. I mean, it seems, again, there's a lot of, and we talked about this yesterday, if you didn't watch our Monday 2 p.m. Eastern podcast, we talked about how peace and safety seems to be, it's like the season of that right now. That's being thrown out there everywhere.
Interesting having Donald Trump back as president-elect, because right now he's not introducing himself to these world leaders. They already have a relationship with him, and they know how he operates. So yesterday we got word that not only did he speak on the phone with leaders in the Middle East, as Matt was just talking about, he also spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the phone and told him not to escalate the war in Ukraine. So what do you think the impact of Donald Trump will be when it comes to potential peace and deterrence around the world?
I don't think we have to guess. We've seen what happened when President Trump was in office for 4 years. We saw peace. We saw countries cower to the strength of the White House. And look, the United States military is not our greatest asset that we bring to the table in the world stage. Our greatest asset is our negotiating power, our economic sanctioning ability, and the White House, a strong commander-in-chief in the White House who can lead this world to peace. And we've seen it for 4 years. We actually did it through strength. President Obama said it would take decades and generations to remove ISIS and Al-Qaeda off the battlefield. President Trump did it in 5 months, and we spent 4 years without any new wars, and the only president in my lifetime or in 80 years to actually do that.
Yeah, and this is a huge question to ask you in a couple minutes that we have, but Donald Trump is walking into so many challenges when it comes to the war in Ukraine and the war in Gaza, and he said that he wants to end the war in Ukraine and also alleviate the situation between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I mean, how do you go about doing that, picking up from a foreign policy directive that is much different from his when it comes to the Biden administration and trying to steer the ship in a different direction?
Well, you know, Ukraine, for example, I've been to Ukraine 10 times since the war. And the reason I've been to Ukraine is because of the failure of the Biden administration. You have to remember, the White House, I believe, allowed this to happen. When Putin put 100,000 troops on the eastern Ukrainian border, it was President Biden that decided to remove our embassy, remove our consulate, and remove our U.S. troops from Ukraine, which gave a green light for Putin to cross that border. The Article 5 violation is a very real thing. If President Putin even indiscriminately harms a U.S. troop or NATO troop, he's in an Article 5 violation. He does not want that. If President Trump, even as president-elect, cannot get Vladimir Putin and Zelensky to negotiate a ceasefire, all President Trump has to do is lead a humanitarian aid effort with NATO in that country, which would put Putin at a risk of Article 5 violation. This thing would be over in 24 hours, and I believe President Trump not only can do it, I believe he will do it, and I believe he'll do it before he's in office, mm-hmm. that he will negotiate a ceasefire in Ukraine.
That would be remarkable news if that does come to pass.
And now a headline, this was just came across to me yesterday, and I knew I was going to have to talk about this today. I mean, again, you can't make this stuff up. This is profound. I want to show you this. And guys, before we get started and go further in this, can you help me out? Hit that like button, hit that bell notification, and hit that hit those push notifications there, the bell on Rumble and YouTube, because it's going to help you guys, and it's going to help us out. It's going to help us get our material out there on these algorithms, and it's going to help you keep up with us and follow our content and on all these platforms. So look at this headline. This is from Israel 365 News. You better buckle up because the verbiage in this is very interesting. All right. The Midrash hints that Trump will return glory to the Western world. How's he going to do it? Look at your screen, guys. By building Third Temple. All right. Let's get into this. Rabbi Yosef Berger revealed some amazing aspects of Donald Trump's victory in the recent U.S. presidential election. Most notably, his potential role. Look at this. Potential role in building the Third Temple. Can you believe? So they're saying that this guy has the potential to build the Third Temple that's being anticipated in Israel. Wow. As the spiritual descendant of Rome, the nation that destroyed the Second Temple, Trump has the potential to do a tikkun, however you pronounce it, they're fixing the sin of Rome and returning the glory to the Western society. Now, this next part gets a little bit cringy because of the wording here. And again, this is the views and expressions that are made in this content and this article do not reflect those of End Time Headlines. Let me make that disclaimer, okay? Trump's election is a necessary element of the redemption and a sign that the Mashiach or the Messiah is imminent. Again, according to Rabbi Berger, that this is why Donald Trump and Hebrew numerology equals 424, which is the same as the Mashiach ben David or the Messiah from the house of David. Yikes. Rabbi Berger pointed out, quote, this certainly does not mean he will be the Messiah. Well, I'm glad he clarified that, but it indicates that he will play a role in preparing the way for the arrival of the Messiah. Now stop, guys. This is exactly what I've been saying. On both accounts, one, I have continually spoken out against these people that have this Messiah complex about Trump, that they idolize this guy so much that they take Christ off the throne and they put Trump on the throne, and they believe or they've convinced themselves that since Trump has won the election, that literally Jesus is ready to come back and set up the kingdom for 1,000 years. And make Trump like on his right hand. And we've spoken against that stuff. That's that. And again, any kind of politics that's worshiped like that is idolatry. Okay. Number two, we have said over and over again that Trump is not the Antichrist. He is not the Antichrist, but he will play, he will play a major role in preparing the way. Now, this rabbi says he'll play a major role in preparing the way for the arrival of the Messiah. But I say, and that could be true, I don't know, but I think that Trump is preparing the way for the arrival of the Antichrist too. Because you have to remember, let me pull this away, guys, and talk to you for a second. You also have to remember that the majority of Jews in Israel are not messianic. They're not believers in Yeshua of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Now, this rabbi might be one. He seems to be a believer in Christ, or at least we'll give him the credit and say that he doesn't believe that Trump's the Messiah, okay? So I don't know. I can't say for sure. But again, the majority of Jews in Israel are not messianic. They don't believe in Yeshua as the Son of David or the Messiah. But that doesn't mean that they're not anticipating and looking for a Messiah. They expect, guys, in Judaism, again, we pointed out all three monotheistic religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all three believe in a coming Messiah, and all three believe that his return is imminent. The Christians, the believers, believe that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is about to split that eastern sky and he's about to return. In Judaism, they believe that the Mashiach, the son of David. They believe that there is coming a Messiah, but many of them guys don't believe it's Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go back to that in just a second. Islam is awaiting their Messiah. They call him the Al-Mahdi, which I believe is the Antichrist of the Bible. But watch this. I also believe that many of these Jews, unless the veil lifts off their eyes, and you can read this in the New Testament, guys. It says that when Jesus Christ is preached, it lifts the veil that is on the eyes of those who to this day still read the scriptures. And that veil has to be removed through Christ. And if that veil does not be removed, then I fear that the Messiah that the Jews are looking for is actually going to be the Antichrist that shows up in Israel, in Jerusalem, and takes that temple that they're anticipating on getting built. Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, guys, tells us that it's not going to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that comes and occupies and sets in that temple in Jerusalem. It's going to be the Antichrist that sets in that temple. All right, let's go back to this. All right, let me read this again. Quote, this certainly does not mean that he will be the Messiah, but indicates that he will play a role in, quote, preparing the way. Somebody say prepare the way in the chat. He will prepare the way for the arrival of the Messiah. And again, who is that Messiah? Again, perspectives here, okay? He clearly has the inclination. This connection was so evident in Trump's connection with Jerusalem that in 2018, the Sanhedrin minted a coin. Y'all remember this? With the profile of Trump superimposed on the image of Persian King Cyrus. Now, guys, again, this is what a lot of in Israel, they call Trump Cyrus. They say he is literally Cyrus of our day. And he's a Gentile that is not squeaky clean, not sanctified, not saved, but he's being used as an instrument or a vessel from the Lord to fulfill prophecy. Even the rabbis believe this. Again, King Cyrus, who facilitated the building of the second temple in Jerusalem that ended the Babylonian exile in 538 BC. And Cyrus, again, was not Jewish. So y'all see this parallel? So they say that since Trump is a Cyrus figure and the original Cyrus helped reestablish the second temple in Jerusalem, now they're saying that Trump, who is the Cyrus of our day, will be instrumental in constructing a third temple that's, again, awaiting or anticipated. There's an awaiting of this thing. They're anticipating it among all the Jewish people. All right, Cyrus's connection to the Messiah is found in the book of Isaiah. The Persian king is the only non-Jewish leader to be referred to in the Bible as Mashiach, or literally his anointed one. Again, a little it becomes cringy here because in reference to Trump here, and I don't, that's why it makes me cringe a little bit. Anyway, the word for anointed one in Hebrew is Mashiach, which means Messiah. Okay, thus said the Lord, that's when they say Hashem here, thus saith the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed one, whose right hand has grasped, treading down nations before him, ungirding the loins of kings and opening doors before him and letting no gate stay shut. So again, Isaiah 45:1, guys, they're saying, they're trying to say that Trump could be the Cyrus of our day. Again, that God is using to tread down nations before him. Again, what is he doing? He's going out here and he's trying to make these peace negotiations. He's trying to resolve issues and conflicts. He's, again, opening doors. There's doors being opened. And are these supernatural doors? Is God's hand on this? Again, we'd love to hear from you in the chat. Rabbi Berger cited the medieval commentator Rashi, who stated Daniel 12:12, that Mashiach will be revealed, concealed, and then revealed again. This was also stated in, again, and this is the Midrash Rabbah. Again, this is some of their other books that are outside of scripture here. Rabbi Barachia, in the name of Rabbi Levi, said that, quote, just like the first Redeemer, Moshe revealed himself to the Jews and then concealed himself. Similarly, the final Redeemer will reveal himself and then conceal himself and then return and reveal himself again. Quote, like Cyrus, God put Donald Trump in power in order to build the temple and pave the way for the Messiah. Wow. Rabbi Berger said, quote, like Moses, Trump began as part of the common people, was revealed in his first success entering the White House, but was then hidden. And like Moses, now that Trump has been revealed for the second time, he will fulfill his ultimate functions. Guys, these rabbis 100% believe that Trump is going to be instrumental in constructing the third temple in Jerusalem. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Do you think that Trump will be used by God to usher in or help construct this third temple? Now, I want to put a flag right there or a stake right there because I do want to, we got to remember, guys, it's kind of interesting. It's just a point of interest here. It is very interesting to me that the whole, the information about the red heifers has gone just completely radio silence. No updates, nothing. And again, I suspect that the reason why is because this was really advancing, and then October 7th happened last year, which, again, when Hamas came in and did what they did at Israel, and then everything was put on hold. So I don't know if that's probably one of the reasons why they haven't continued giving us information about this. Don't think for a second that they've stopped their plans. I don't think for a moment that they have, you know, they have second thoughts or they're putting on, you know, they're reconsidering their ambitions. No, they are pursuing the third temple in Jerusalem and Israel. So it's going to be interesting, again, how this thing is unfolding here. All right. Rabbi Berger cited another Midrash that hinted at Trump's purpose. Quote, Trump is from Edom. Rabbi Berger said Edom literally means red. Is the nation descended from biblical Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, also known as Israel. Rabbi Berger said that Edom became Rome, which became Christianity, which became Western civilization. He went on further to say, quote, Trump is often ridiculed for his redness. They're really stretching this. Jacob tricked Esau and was blessed as the firstborn. Esau's blessing was to serve Yahweh, Esau's blessing was to serve Jacob. In Genesis 27:37, Edom, the Western world, can only be blessed through the blessing of Israel. Just like the second temple, the third temple will be built by non-Jews. Interesting. Rabbi Berger said, quote, this will only be fully revealed after Trump fulfills this role. Wow. Let me recite that again. According to this rabbi, now you remember, these guys got a little bit more insight than we do because they're there. Okay, they communicate with the Sanhedrin. They communicate with the Temple Institute. They communicate with those who have hands on deck to do this. And this rabbi says, just like the second temple, the third coming temple, which it is coming, will be built by non-Jews. And this will only be fully revealed after Trump fulfills this role. Rabbi Berger then referred to the 11th chapter of Leviticus, which delineates the law pertaining to animals that are fit for Jewish consumption. For an animal to be designated as kosher, it must have split hooves and chews its cud. Despite the explicitly stated rule, four animals are specifically mentioned as being forbidden in a manner that seems textually redundant. The final animal specified as being forbidden to Jews is a pig. Again, citing these extra biblical sources, a collection of homiletic teachings believed to have been compiled in the 5th century in Israel, Rabbi Berger explains this apparent redundancy by stressing that four animals are compared to the four major kingdoms that mistreat Israel. Of these impure species, a chazir is compared to the nation of Edom. The comparison is not flattering, but the implications are enormous. According to Rabbi, many times in the Bible we find that the greatest spiritual light comes to the most hidden of sources. He goes on further and emphasizes that these sources state explicitly that the third temple will be built by the descendants of Rome, or, quote, Christianity. Now, again, according to this rabbi, Rome destroyed the second temple, so Rome's descendants, the Christians, are going to amend this by taking part in the bringing of the third temple. All right, guys, so again, let me know your thoughts on this, but I want to talk about this for a second. So this second temple that they're talking about was destroyed in 70 AD. No other Jewish temple to this day has been constructed in Jerusalem since. Now, there's two Islamic mosques that sit in Israel today called the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Again, as we stated, the temple is very important and is a centerpiece for all three major religions connected to this area. Again, to the Jews, it was Abraham that offered Isaac there and the two temples there connected to this. Muslims, there's two mosques, and then there's Christians, which where there was the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Again, this area, we're talking about this area of Jerusalem where this third temple will be constructed. The Apostle Paul, we're laying out the facts here right now. Paul saw the Antichrist setting in a future temple. Let me show you this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except through coming to fall in way first, and the man of sin be revealed. Again, this is the Antichrist, the son of perdition. Watch this, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshiped, so that he as God, he will declare himself as God, sets in the temple of God. Again, where is this at? This is in Jerusalem. This is going to be this third temple that will be constructed. Again, John the Revelator saw, he actually saw this temple in more detail. And there was given me a reed likened unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. There it is. And the altar, so it will have an altar, and them that worship therein. So there's a temple with an altar and people worshiping at it. But the court, again, a temple has an, remember, a temple has a outer court and it has an inner court, okay? But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city, that's Jerusalem, shall they tread under their feet for 42 months. Again, what is he talking about here? Again, John saw a future temple. It will be constructed. He said it will be measured. He said there's going to be people worshiping at it. And he said the outer court will be given over to the Gentiles who will tread upon it for 42 months. Because when the friends, before the Antichrist takes over this temple and sets in it and declares himself as God, he's went around, he's made peace diplomacies. Daniel 9:27, he has confirmed a covenant with many for 7 years. So for 42 months or 3.5 years, the world has been saying peace and safety. It's been exciting. It's been great. It's been like a utopia. Happy days are back again. Because this guy's the man of the hour. But then, halfway through it, 42 months into it, 3.5 years into it, he breaks the treaty. He invades Jerusalem with his small army, becomes great. He sets himself up as God in the temple, declares himself as God, spews all kinds of blasphemies. He I believe he's carrying out attacks that shakes the world. I believe the Antichrist is going to be responsible for the destruction of Mystery Babylon that's destroyed in 1 hour's time. And then the nations of the world will look upon and see this, and it'll bring such fear into their hearts that the Bible says that in Revelation 17, that these 10 kings and kingdoms will surrender their kingdoms over to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. Same verbiage, guys. 1 hour time, Mystery Babylon is destroyed, and 1 hour, these kings surrender their kingdoms to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. So this is where it will fulfill what John said, where the outer court will be tread upon by the Gentiles. And then you got to remember, then the Antichrist with the false prophet, they will set up their image at the pinnacle of the temple, and then this will fulfill what Daniel said and what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, where it'll be the abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate. They will set up this system of the beast, which is the mark of the beast. This will be a buying, selling, and trading system. All of this happens, guys, right after that treaty is broken. But don't miss the point. There is coming a temple. Don't let anybody tell you, well, there's no such thing as a third temple coming. That's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. It's in the Bible. It's coming. Guys, even Zechariah in the Old Testament saw this future temple coming. Not only did he see the future temple, but he saw the two witnesses that I believe will be instrumental in constructing this temple. Okay, one a Jew, one a Gentile. I believe, and again, there's going to be difference of opinions, but I believe the two witnesses will be Elijah and Enoch, and I base that on in Hebrews, where it says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Well, guys, the only two that never died and saw physical death was Elijah and Enoch. So they will return to earth. They will be the two witnesses, but don't miss the point. Look at this in Zechariah. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro over the whole earth. Then answered, and I said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, and I said unto him, what be these two olive branches which brought the two golden pipes empty the golden oil and themselves? Notice, again, they reference these two olive trees. And he answered me and said, no, do you not knowest that what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And then said he, these are the two anointed ones, wow, that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Again, listen to me. These are the two witnesses that will come, and consequently, they're mentioned in Revelation 11, where I just showed you, where John talks about the construct, or where this third temple will be. In Revelation 11, this third temple will be there, and then the two witnesses appear. Now, if you back up a little bit, look what it says here again in Zechariah 4:8-9. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Who has despised the day of small things? I mean, how many preachers have quoted that? Don't despise this day of small beginnings. But guys, don't miss it. Look what it's in reference to. Again, the foundation of a temple and hands that will finish it. And then he goes right into the next verse and he talks about the two witnesses that will appear. And then consequently, you go up here, Revelation 11. Again, he mentions a temple of God. All right, then you go down here. Watch this. Don't measure it. It'll be given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city under feet 42 months. Look at this, verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Guys, again, these two witnesses are those two anointed ones. These are those two olive branches that was standing before the presence of God, and they were in heaven because Enoch was walking with God and was not, and was taken. Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. Both of these men currently, as of today, right now, are standing in the presence of God. They're in heaven and they're awaiting their marching orders. And when the fullness of time has come, when that third temple, if you want to know the timing of the two witnesses, everybody's like, well, the two witnesses, I see people saying all the time, are these the two witnesses or the two witnesses? No. When you start seeing the temple being built, friend, you better watch out, because when the temple starts getting rebuilt, them two witnesses are going to appear, because they're going to be influential in constructing that temple. Now you say, why is that? Because these two witnesses will be ministering during the first 42 months of the tribulation, but they'll be slain by the Antichrist in the middle, about the time he sets up his headquarters there in the Jerusalem in the temple. Now let me give you what some scholars believe, and then we're gonna close this 2 p.m. podcast today. There are some biblical scholars that believe that the coming temple and the area around it will be shared by all three major religions in the last days. Again, Islam, Judaism, Christianity. This could transpire through a diplomacy of peace or land for peace deal. Whoa. Let me say that again. There is a possibility. It's hard to conceive this, but could a third temple be constructed that would be shared by all three major religions? And if it did happen, the only way, and again, this is not my opinion, guys. This is coming from other biblical scholars. I'm just giving you the general consensus here. This could transpire through a diplomacy of peace or some type of land for peace deal. Now, guys, go back and listen to yesterday's podcast. There are talks now in the making where they're wanting Trump to go and negotiate peace deals with the Arabs and Israel. And remember, we talked about that because we said we definitely don't want Trump, whatever he does, if he's going to make a peace deal and he's going to do this, do not divide Jerusalem. If Jerusalem is given to the Muslims as the capital, then we're in deep trouble because that's dividing Israel. Now, what's interesting is if this happens, guys, I'm not saying it is, but if that was to happen, this would also pave the way for the false prophet, who is going to merge all of these religions together under one umbrella and create a new false religion. You got to remember that. That's coming too. Also, it's interesting to note that some in the Temple Institute have stated that it would only take about 42 months or 3.5 years to construct this temple. Now, why is that interesting? Because again, that number is interesting. 3.5 years, 42 months. Because again, that's the mark, the earmark of when the Antichrist breaks the treaty and reveals his true identity. And the reason why they're saying it would take 3.5 years to construct the temple is because, again, this is based on prayer rituals, new moon, Sabbaths, the preparations, the red heifers, all this stuff. But again, the last time I checked, all of these things have been already ready to go and prepared. And the only thing we're literally waiting on at this point is the red heifer. So guys, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Let us know in the chat. Do you think that Trump will be instrumental in constructing the third temple in Jerusalem? Hit yes or hit no. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. So guys, again, help us out. Hit that like button. Again, that's going to help us out and help you out. Why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. If you've not subscribed to our main website or download our free app. You can do it today. It's free. And again, it's available on Apple and Android devices. When you download it, just hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Every headline, every podcast, everything's going to be readily available and be a blessing to you. And again, guys, if this content is of any value to you, our ministry is a blessing to you, and you would like to give back, you'd like to sow into our ministry, you'd like to partner with us, we'd like for you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the website, up there at the top of YouTube. It's pinned to the top where it says support in bold letters. All you got to do is click on that link. That's going to be, it's going to take you right there where you can do that. Or you can give by check or money order to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, thank you for hopping on today. We're going to sign off for now. But we plan on being back here tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. So don't miss it. Until then, I pray that y'all have a great afternoon. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.